In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
To receive the body of blood and blood of Christ unworthily, St. Thomas Aquinas says, it will bring people to hell. Has that changed? See, I don't want to see anybody go to hell. That's not what I want. I'm just telling you that nobody is really reading the signs of the times. And there are lots of signs of the times, but we're just so dumb. We're also involved in our own stuff, and the world is so fast, and we've got to do these 18,000 things a day, and stop the world, I want to get off. There's a big problem somewhere. And I'll tell you, the problem is, we have forgot the Lord. It's the problem. We have forgotten the Lord. And what will it take for us to come back? We think of individuals, okay. We think of individuals. Maybe they were drug addicts. Maybe they were drunks. And they reached the lowest of the low. And by the grace of God, when they reached their bottom, they turned to the Lord. Now, not everyone does that. What will be the bottom that we, in the we the people of the United States, and the churches of the United States will have to reach before we repent? See, there's got to be a bottom. But what will it be? Why do we have to wait for more misery to happen? That's why we have to sound the trumpet. Even though nobody listens. Like, I've been saying this kind of stuff, and I want to tell you, I'm really tired of saying it. It's like I've said, I've heard this song before, I've said these words before, and still there's no one who cares, and I keep on saying it, and I keep on preaching it, and they keep on leaving. But you know what? It's a reality. It truly is a reality. And there is a need of repentance, because the whole earth is responding to us now by the way we live, by the way we do our business, by the way we have turned against God. You know, you just think about Ms. Oprah, you know. She has told us that there are many ways to God. Jesus is not the only way. Don't say. But you know, she's one of the evangelists of the world. That's Oprah. She's an evangelist of the world. She has a greater audience than anybody else. She's doing her preaching. Oh yeah, I've seen it as preaching for years. And you know, no one speaks like Oprah's really all wet, the poor bum. Because it's Oprah. She's the richest woman in the world. She should have quit after The Color Purple when she still had Jesus in her heart. What good does it merit a person if they gain the whole world and lose their soul? I remember Jesus said something like that. And yet, you know, they'll listen to Oprah. But who are the clarion trumpets that are preaching the word of God, warning the people, calling the people to prayer, calling the people to repentance? Like this. We are in a conflict. And our conflict is with the devil. And most people don't even believe in the devil. Or other people believe in him too much. Some people think that the devil is bigger than God. Oh, the devil is after me. Usually when they say that, I like to laugh because, you know, they got nothing for him to be after, if you know what I'm saying. If you got the goods, the devil's after you, believe me. If you don't have the goods, what's he going to be after you for? You're not doing anything. You're not changing anybody's life. Why would the devil be after you if you don't have any influence in the world? Well, why would the devil be after anybody? He doesn't mind that people have their own salvation. He's very upset when the people start spreading the gospel to other people and care about people and pray for people and bring the Eucharist to people and bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ. He gets upset about that. Then the devil starts pushing dust in your face. But for the most part, you know, I'm under attack. You don't say, ah. What is there to attack? But I'm not saying that he doesn't bother everybody. I'm just saying, you know what? Sometimes we magnify the attack. St. Teresa said, you know, people say Satan, 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 when you can just say Jesus, 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 and he runs away. But, you know, that's another story. But most people have no idea that our fight is against powers and principalities. We were at a service once. I'm not going to tell you where it was because it makes no difference. And this poor person began to, what's the word? Manifest demonic noises. What she needed was ministry. But they didn't realize it. So they threw her out. When the power of God comes, demonic experiences start to come. Because God wants to take it out. But you know what? You know, it's just the way it is. And you know, who needs to tell people about these things that our fight is not only a human fight, it's against the devil. And let me tell you, the devil hates Jesus Christ. He doesn't hate me. But he hates Jesus, and he'll get at anyone who's got the goods to bring people to Jesus. Where Jesus tells us today, no one who comes to me will I ever reject. That's a beautiful statement of the Lord. I won't reject anyone. I'm not into rejecting people. I'm into receiving people. I'm into forgiving people. God is into that kind of business. But you see, who needs forgiveness today? You know, everything's so good. I'm a little better than the people around the corner and better than the people around the neighborhood. I go to church 4 times a week. Oh, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. The only hope that there is prayer, finding our knees, repentance, going to God. Today we heard that with the things that Philip did, the worship was at fever pitch. I wonder what would happen if there was fever pitch worship in any church, Catholic, Protestant, or Orthodox. Fever pitch. I wonder what would be said. It's all emotionalism. Like, we read these words, they are words that convict me. Like, I've been reading these words as a priest and as a deacon for 34 times now. Or something like that. And as a seminarian, no, more than that. Please, 40 times. These same readings every year. And every year I find something new that sticks out and says, oh my gosh, I've read this, but now this is what God is saying. You always oppose the Holy Spirit. And yet Saul opposed the Holy Spirit, and it was the conversion of Saul that brought about the conversion of the Gentiles. Good day. The name of the telecast is In Season and Out of Season. I'm Father Tom DiLorenzo from Holy Rosary in Winthrop, and I'm glad to be with you today as I proclaim the Word of God. I was looking through the scriptures last night, and it was from Ezekiel, the first three chapters. In the first chapter, Ezekiel tells us that he was by the river Chebar. You see, the Israelites had been taken away to Babylon because of their sin. And he is speaking to the exiles. And the first chapter is about a vision that Ezekiel has of the glory of God. The scripture says that the heavens were open. And just those words, the heavens were open, just fill me with such wonder, because it tells us that the presence of God became so real. He fell on his face as if he were dead. The presence of God was so thick, so alive, so real. You see, today I hear so much about energy. This is more than energy. This is the Lord's presence. It might seem like energy, but it is the presence of God. He fell on his face and he began to see what you don't see and I don't see. He saw, first of all, four living creatures. And one had the face of a lion and the other a face of the man. Another, a face of an ox, and the other an eagle in flight. And these faces were on one person, and he saw four of them. These are the cherubim that constantly are before the Word of God, are constantly before God worshiping him. And as he said the heavens were open, he saw the throne of God. And he begins to describe the throne of God. Now, how can you describe heaven in earthly language? I guess you do the best you can. He said that there was a belt around his waist, the Lord's waist. He said that he shone with glory. But he really couldn't capture this presence of God in words. You know why? Because God's presence is way beyond words. You know, we can't even capture a person with words or with a picture. How can I capture someone that's alive with words? You need to know them. You need to experience them. How much more God? When he describes what he saw, it was awesome. The heaven was open. The presence of God came. And then you see why it had to be so sweet. Because the message of Ezekiel was to prophesy to a rebellious people. A people who wanted their own way and did not want God's way. You would see that God would have to begin with the glory of God and fill him to the brim with his presence, because his message, as he says, is going to be very sweet in the mouth but bitter in the stomach. For the Lord says, I want you to eat the scroll that I write on, the scroll of judgment. It was sweet in the mouth, but bitter in the stomach. And you know, when the prophet begins to speak like this, no one wants to hear it. No one wants to hear that they are a rebellious people. No one wants to hear that it's time to repent. No one wants to hear that, my Lord, we're doing something wrong. And yet, that was the message of Ezekiel. We need Ezekiel today. Or people like him who will call us to repentance. For I'm telling you, if the people in his day were rebellious, the people in our day are far more rebellious. I have been thinking, pondering about things that I said in 1990. In 1990, when I was on the radio, and I still am on the radio, 9:50 on the AM dial in Boston, at 11:30 in the morning, 7:30 at night. In 1990, I said that we were living in a post-Christian era. That Christianity was gone. This is 2010. This is 20 years later. I never thought it would get this bad. Let me just describe some of the things that I've been thinking about. You know, most people in 1990, when somebody died, would have them brought to the church and there would be a funeral mass. No more. Everyone doesn't have a funeral mass. Every body is not brought to the church. One of the things that many people do is that it's just over and it's quick. It's over and it's quick. The person is not brought to the church many times. Many times. That's kind of sad. I remember my friend Freddie. Freddie was a beautiful man. Freddie, he would talk like this. "Yeah, Father Tom, I like the way you cock." Freddie was a doctor, PhD. He loved the Lord. Not only did he love the Lord, but Freddie had an amputation of his right leg. I thought after the amputation, Freddie would just be gone. I said, you know what, he'll die. But I remember when I came to Holy Rosary in 1995, I remember Freddie in 1997 walking up those wooden steps with a prosthesis on. He would come to Mass every single day. On a Sunday, I would invite him in for dinner. He had no family. His wife had died. He loved his wife so much. Well, Freddie did die. Remember, coming to church every day with a wooden leg. Let me tell you, after they had the amputation, the doctor said, "We'll send up the psychiatrist." And Freddie said, "I had it for 90 years and I'm grateful. I'll get along without it. God was good to me for 90 years with two legs." Oh, they said, "You're living in denial." He said, "What denial?" He was very, very abrupt. He was not living in denial. Now, maybe, you know, if I had that, God forbid, I'd be weeping all over the place. Not Freddie. Coming to Mass every single morning, celebrating the Eucharist with us, receiving Holy Communion. Well, Freddie dies. And we never receive his body. The family just buries him. Now, this is a holy man. This is an educated man. This is a Christian man. This is a man who loved the Lord. Yet in 1997, 98, whenever he died, there was no funeral. He was not taken to church. You know what? Of course I celebrated Mass for Freddie. How could I not? We had a special Mass for him. But you know, this is happening more and more. In 1990, they used to bring their children to be baptized. Everyone doesn't get baptized anymore. Even if they didn't get to church on a Sunday, they got their children to be baptized and receive communion and confirmation. No more. Everyone doesn't receive communion and confirmation. We live in a post-Christian era. Very pathetic. And there's only one way out of this post-Christian era, is that we have to act as missionaries. Like you're going to the Zulus and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ as if people never heard it. Because you know what? People have never heard it. This is real stuff. And you know what bothers me? What bothers me is not that they don't come to church. What bothers me is today I went to the grave. And every one of us will go to the grave, dead, and we will be buried. And I want to tell you, the choice is between heaven and hell. And what bothers me is that we are so far away from God and Jesus that hell is a great possibility for many people. Now, I know people will say there's no such thing as hell, or hell is on earth. But you ask my friend Janine, who died and went to hell, at least the gateway of hell. Thank God she came back. Worse than any horror movie you would ever want to see, because the horror movie was being played within her being. You see, it's not that I want to fill a church. It's that eternal experiences will happen by our choices, whether we give our life to Jesus Christ or whether we want to live as a rebellious people. But you see, the great equalizer is the grave. And our Lord Jesus Christ has conquered the grave by his death and resurrection.
Yeah, I do thank you for listening to In Season and Out of Season. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the word of God. I do need to hear from people so that we can pay our bills. People from all over the country. And it's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And you know what? We can only do these broadcasts because you help us. People in Arizona, people in Washington, D.C., people in Phoenix, Arizona, people in St. Louis, people in New Jersey, people in the western part of the state, in Hartford, people in Boston, people in Florida. Oh, yes. All you people, people in Phoenix. We need to hear from you, Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And I do thank you for all your kindnesses, because we couldn't do it without you. And you know what? The rain will be falling again. And as your roof is leaking, think about Jimmy, 617-519-0341, 617-519-0341, 617-519-0341. He's the best. He's the best. Does a good job, and I'm going to tell you, he's very inexpensive. He's the best. He's the best, and I put my ministry behind it. 617-519-0341, 617-519-0341. All glory be to you, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All glory be to you, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Great, high, wonderful God, high and lifted up, worshipped by the angels and the saints. All glory be to you, God. Help us to be ready. Help us to get ready. Help us to find our knees. Help us to be prepared. Help us not to be afraid. All glory to God the Father, to Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, and to the Holy Spirit who dwells within our hearts. May all praise and honor and glory be given to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, unto all the ages. And all the people said, Amen. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.